Good snap, good hold, kick is no good. But a flag is down in the secondary near the Washington sideline.
Offside on the defense from the 97. It's a 5-yard penalty.
Good snap, good hold, kick is good. Washington wins it.
You're listening to BetQL Daily, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook, with Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth from BetQL.
Kind of a gross game, but at least there were some points, some things to get excited about. If you bet overs in many of those player props or anytime touchdown scores, Washington wins. The Giants kind of gift back them the win there, 30-29. So the Giants are 0-2, and the football team is 1-1 to start the 2021 campaign. Welcome back on BetQL Daily on this Football Friday, getting you set for week two in the National Football League. Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, and Aaron Hawksworth with you. Let's bring on Josh Norris. He's the Odyssey Fantasy Football Insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Josh on the Underdog Football Show, available on YouTube and wherever you find your podcasts. Before we start hitting on some player props, totals, stuff like that this weekend, Josh, I want to hit on the number one story in the fantasy football world earlier this week, and I'm curious how you handled it. Elijah Mitchell. People are using half of their budget for the entire year to make sure they get the Niners running back. What was your approach?
And in some leagues, I've seen 90%
wow.
of their fab budget.
Jeez.
I know. Look, I think the only thing that we can latch onto is that Eli Mitchell is going to have a role in this backfield. That's the only fact that we know, because that was going to be the case heading into week one and certainly the case moving forward. I think from a talent standpoint, from a skill set standpoint, he is most similar to Raheem Mostert on that roster in terms of his straight line speed, in terms of running outside zone. I also factor in that in 2022, the only running backs that are under contract are Eli Mitchell and Trey Sermon. So while this was the backfield they probably thought of the future, it now has become the present. Now, obviously, Trey Sermon was being drafted in round 7 in a lot of leagues prior to the season. I don't think that this is the end of the road for him at all. Who knows what happens in those 10 days between preseason games ending and week one starting. We're going to learn a lot about Trey Sermon, I believe, this week. I would expect, you know, maybe around 10 touches, hopefully. And if that's the case, then as we go forward, maybe he can work into your flex spot and climb the ranks as we go ahead.
Josh, do you find it hard, you know, as the years go on, an offensive mind like Kyle Shanahan, they're going to put up points. Running backs will do well there. But I guess much like his dad back in the day, you don't know which one. Do you think that it was an overreaction on Mitchell, just considering the team he's with, the coach he's with, and the history of that offense?
A really fair question. I think that just at that running back position, we see how quickly things can change, where a no-name can then become, you know, the person that paints the narrative for the entire season. Look at James Robinson last year. You know, I mean, if we even had preseason games, that would have changed the trajectory of everyone's fantasy seasons, because we would have known that James Robinson was going to get 80% of the workload. And instead of being an undrafted free agent or a last round pick, he then goes in round 4, round 5, round 6. I do believe in the totality of the 49ers. This isn't the only weirdness that happened, though. Obviously, with Brandon Ayuk being drafted in the top 24 wide receivers and basically being a non-factor. What we do know now moving forward is seemingly Trey Lance is going to take a little bit longer to get on the field. So Deebo Samuel is the most bankable piece of that offense. And you're still starting George Kittle every week. And then now, as it stands, Eli Mitchell probably working and operating as your running back 3 in your flex spot for right now. But again, I don't want to overreact like you're alluding to in week one, because we're going to get, you know, 100% of the information in week 2 that we got in week 1 as well.
Right. Josh, we do a segment earlier in the week when we try to pinpoint which, you know, average Joe's quarterback or how they're perceived in the league is going to pop in week number 2. So somewhere around 15-25 quarterbacks in that range in the league. Any of them in specific matchups, maybe people have them as a QB2 on their roster right now that they should play this weekend.
dare I say this, and please do not clip this if it turns out bad like it did in week one. I kind of like the Tennessee Titans this week to cover the 5.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a total of 54. And that's what we care so much about when we're looking at these things. And sure, he's a road underdog. But when I look at week one, so often I try to picture and imagine what the team wants to be. And I feel like with the Titans and the Packers, there was no ability to do that because, you know, 5 sacks, 2 sack fumbles, the Titans were never able to, you know, implement their identity at all. I mean, their play action rate dropped to like 10%, where it was among the league high last season. And while I, you know, pitched A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Ryan Tannehill never practicing together as a positive during the preseason because maybe it gave us a value heading into the year, maybe it was a negative because they just couldn't be in unison and in sync. So obviously the Seahawks do not have a pass rusher like Chandler Jones. They even have a pass rusher like J.J. Watt. So I'd expect Ryan Tannehill to bounce back here and hopefully put up top 12 scoring numbers here in week two.
Quarterbacks in fantasy, you know, we know the ones that are great, and then there's always ones every year that kind of popping, like, who, how good is this guy really? Where are you now with Jalen Hurts? Last year he came in end of the year, put up big fantasy numbers. Then they changed the coach, they changed the system. Everyone's like, is he even going to keep the job? Do the Eagles even want him? And then he goes out there in week one, he plays well. Again, a good fantasy week. Do we know what Jalen Hurts is now? How would you rank him right now among quarterbacks just based on what we saw last year and then week one?
I think we have a better idea of who the Eagles are now. Like, lest we forget, heading into last season, they suffered 2 massive offensive line injuries. And then once Jalen Hurts took over, it was just a complete negative situation. I mean, no one was set up for success there. Now we reset. We have a great offensive line that is healthy. And they were old and they were aging. And maybe that's not going to be the case for the entire season. But heading into week two, that's absolutely the case. And now we have Nick Sirianni, who I feel like has taken the strengths of Jalen Hurts, who is also progressing as a player. Like, you know, he's keeping his eyes up in the face of disruption. He's climbing the pocket. What he's so good at is creating some of those easier throws on those extended plays in terms of short and to the right. I don't know if you guys saw his passing chart, but they heavily targeted like the short area on his right side in the 1 to 10 yard frame. And the Falcons just could nothing, like do nothing to prevent that. Now, I think you have a blossoming relationship with Devontae Smith. And more importantly, you have the rushing upside and really the rushing floor. Like if we get 30 to 50 to 70 rushing yards, which is absolutely in play with Jalen Hurts every single week, then that's going to give us a nice floor to go off of. And if he continues to throw touchdowns, if he continues to be efficient as a passer, that only elevates his ceiling as well. And on top of that, the running backs associated with them have an elevated overall presence as well. I thought Miles Sanders looked great, and obviously Kenan Gainwell found the end zone. That is one team that I've done a 180 on heading into the year with the Eagles because they just feel competent now. And I'm not saying like any of those players are tremendously explosive, but if their defense plays well like it did last week, it's almost like an avalanche that continues to build. And Jalen Hurts is going to be the most positive piece on that.
With Odyssey Fantasy Football insider Josh Norris, this is BetQL Daily. Josh, let's hit on some totals here. A bunch of high numbers. That Cowboys-Chargers game jumped immediately this week, kind of settled in around 55. And there are a few games that are 50s. Any specific overs or unders that jump out to you?
Yeah, all of those 4 games in the 4 o'clock window are 50 or over, which we love to see that in the afternoon slate.
Yeah,
we absolutely love to see that. The Chargers are fascinating to me because while we've said this before, it just feels different this year, doesn't it? And I think a major emphasis is the improvements along the offensive line, but it's also just handing the keys over to Justin Herbert. Like he's making these throws out there on the field that all of these other quarterbacks can't imagine to make, like these far hash opposite sideline throws that, you know, allows us to get Mike Williams involved as like a top 24 potentially wide receiver each and every week. And obviously Keenan Allen owns the middle of the field. Now what that's doing with the Los Angeles Chargers is it's eliminating like this stereotype that we have of Austin Eckler as like a check down player, a receiving back. He saw 0 targets in week 1, and maybe that changes, and I'm sure that will change moving forward. But now what we have is confidence in Austin Ekeler as a player inside the 20 and inside the 10-yard line, which I don't know how many other teams would have done throughout his career. I mean, he led the NFL with 7 carries inside the 20 last week. So this is an offense, and again, famous last words, that I absolutely believe in, and one that I know what Dallas did this past week in terms of keeping up and keeping pace. But man, oh man, am I buying the Chargers at this moment? And I feel like there are 4 startable pieces on that offense each and every week in fantasy. And one of those pieces, and Mike Williams, certainly was not drafted as if he was a bankable option heading into the season.
Josh, another game that you mentioned in one of the 4 o'clock window games that looked fantasy just feast there with points and everyone maybe going over rushing yards, passing yards, and receiving yards. Cardinals, Vikings. What do you make of some of the other pieces, especially in Arizona? You know, is the engine that makes it all go, but you know, it wasn't just DeAndre Hopkins last week. Christian Kirk got involved. Chase Edmonds. How do you play those guys? Are they all, you know, is that Cardinals offense kind of auto plays as long as Kyler is upright and healthy? What do you think about that game and particularly the Cardinals offensive weapons?
It's tough for me to immediately insert Christian Kirk in the starting lineup. He only ran a route on 66% of the team's passes last week, had a 17% target share. His ADOT was outstanding. I think what this allows us to do, while AJ Green is occupying the right wide receiver spot, that has now put us like in a much better position to have Christian Kirk in his preferred role. It's kind of the same thing what's happening in New York in the game last night. You paid $21 million for Kenny Galladay to play at the outside, which allows you to have Sterling Shepard be an absolute dominant force in the slot. I think there's some major critical pieces that change and really elevate even Cliff Kingsbury as a player, as a coach, I should say, from 2021 to 2022. It's getting Rondale Moore as a manufactured touch player instead of Larry Fitzgerald. And it's bringing Rodney Hudson at the center spot, who Kyler even said, like, hey, a lot of the zero blitz things that they did last week, Rodney Hudson got us in a position to win and succeed. And then you have Kyler Murray, who is just a different style of quarterback than I have ever seen, who quick game, he's there. Extended game, long plays, he puts it on a rope or has great touch. And then these crazy extended, like, I'm going to juke left, I'm going to juke right, I'm going to fall away. I mean, this is a player who in the first 10 games of last season, let's not forget, had the best quarterback season ever for fantasy football, suffered that shoulder injury, and we got him at a discount heading into this year. Meanwhile, we were drafting all these other players at their peaks, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, heck, even Aaron Rodgers. And so to me, Kyler Murray's on pace. I don't know if they're going to win enough games, even though the defense was surprising. He's on pace for MVP-like numbers, and I just don't know how, if every piece does stay healthy, for this offense to slow down, but still odd in the fact that Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins are the most bankable pieces each and every week that you should have confidence in. And I still question until we learn more information about usage on your Christian Kirks and on your Chase Edmonds, because those backs, it's all dependent on if they have the inside the 10-yard line touches.
Yeah, a lot of bettors agree with you, Josh, as Kyler Murray's MVP odds just slashed down to single digits earlier this week. Another minute with Josh Norris, Odyssey Fantasy Football Insider. Josh, any particular player props that pop for week 2?
Can I give you a underdog that I love this week? I really like the Panthers getting 3.5 at home. I feel like the Saints... In that Packers game, it was one that I don't know how much we can take and move forward on. The Panthers, this defense was a unit that shocked me the most. It's full of young, athletic, aggressive players. And while the Saints offensive line was great last week, they've already lost one of their pieces. And we know that if Jameis Winston feels pressure, and he certainly wasn't put under that last week against the Packers, he can run around with his head cut off and make some real, you know, frustrating decisions. Meanwhile, and I'm not saying Sam Darnold has changed as a player. He's still frenetic. His eyes, his feet, his shoulders are still on different bodies. But this offense in some ways is too big to fail. And Joe Brady puts them in just a position to succeed. That 3.5 right now, and maybe I'm just overreacting to week 1. I just really like where this Panthers team is at the moment, because I don't even think we saw their final form, because Sam Darnold could have improved in the red zone last week. And that was an area where the Panthers struggled last season as well.
No, Lattimore too. That's big, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's a big one.
Yeah. It's I'm excited to see what Robbie Anderson does, because last year his A-dot dropped down to 10 yards. Last week he was like the vertical playmaker. I think if you combine those two roles, we're still going to have a great year from Robbie Anderson. And yeah, call me crazy. And on the Panthers earlier this season, because it's a great early season schedule for them.
All right, Josh, we promised not to save that clip from earlier in the show, all right? We won't. Thank you for your time.
Unless it works out, right, guys?
Yes, yes. Then it will be out on Sunday afternoon. That was Odyssey Fantasy Football Insider Calls, presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Josh on the Underdog Football Show, available on YouTube and wherever you find your podcasts. Don't mind that Titans play. Don't mind it. It's getting up to six. I don't know that it'll touch a touchdown. Joe Ostrowski, Joe Giglio, Aaron Hawksworth here on BetQL Daily. We're going to continue to line them up, and we're going to go prop shopping next, week two in the NFL. Keep it locked. We are presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Why am I?
Yeah, I'm taking the Panthers.
Why am I being talked into the Titans?